بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There were two friends residing in Makkah Mukarrama, and one thought of moving on to some coastal area, doing some good business there. The friend that moved on would obviously inquire about the homeland, Makkah Mukarrama, how's things going on. After some time, the one in the coastal area heard about a Nabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he made an inquiry, what's going on, what's the latest. So he says that the Nabi that's come up, that's what he's saying, and it is just the simple folk, people that don't have any type of a worldly status, poor, they have accepted. Prominent people of the Quraysh haven't yet accepted. So he heard this and he said, let me go down to Makkah Mukarrama personally and see what's going on. So he came up to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasul-e-Pak explained to him about Islam. And there and then, he declared the shahadat, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know that why so quickly? Just heard the message and there was an immediate response. Normally a person takes time to understand, put things in place, in perspective, then he takes a step. Here, he just heard the kalima and he responded straight away. So he says, see, I have studied the previous scriptures, Torah, Injil, Zabur, and I have seen that generally the following of the Anbiya are the poor people that don't have any status, any recognition in society. And the obvious reason is that those that have got some status, some recognition, some type of recognition in society, then they are concerned about their status, that if we're going to take these steps now, then what is the world going to talk? What are they going to say about us? Like it happens in this day also, that if it's a wealthy person, then he has to do something at a wedding or at a funeral. And the person that is poor, he doesn't got anything, doesn't have anything to fall back. He will just have a simple procedure and carries on. And this person has to be worried about his status, his position, how people will view him, and then he takes the step. And he has got nothing to be concerned about. His mind is clear. There's no markings on his heart. So he'll take an instinctively he will take a step. So he says that I've read this kitab and I've seen this is the type of people that follow the Anbiya. And on that occasion, the verse was revealed, مَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا سُلْفَى إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا. And people's reasoning go in all different directions. Every person got a mind of his own, he reasons according to his mind. People generally feel that, well, if I am wealthy, I've got some status, I've got affluence, and I'm secure here, then I'll be secure there as well. That's how they feel. That I've got wealth, I've got recognition, I've got a following. Then if I'm well off and I'm well to do here, then I'll be well off there as well. So Allah Pak rejects this belief, this type of thinking. مَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى. It's not your wealth, children following, that will bring you the closeness to Allah Ta'ala. So if you want the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, then it's a different thing altogether. This is not the yardstick, it's not the gauge to see. Acceptance is not the yardstick, it's not the gauge to see acceptance and proximity. If this was the yardstick and the gauge to see proximity and closeness to Allah Ta'ala, then In this day, the majority of the wealth, or the people that control the wealth, is the kafir. If you go and see the relics of Fir'aun in Egypt, just the footrest now as it stands, just the footsteps, is made of pure gold, 200 kilos of pure gold. That was the footstep of Fir'aun. And Allah speaks about him, جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةَ يَهْدُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ, person leading to Jahannam, أَغْرَقْنَاهُ أَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمْ. And how he ended, we just took him, like how we take a bunch of flies and flung him into the ocean. فَانْزُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. So see what was the end. So this is not the yardstick, it's not the gauge to see prosperity, it's not the gauge to see closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if you want to see the closeness of Allah ta'ala, then how do you see it? إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضِّعْفِ. So that proximity is for those who believe and do righteous works, so they will have a multiplied reward. The minimum starting for one deed, your reward is multiplied tenfold. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. For the smallest of good deeds that you will do, then it's multiplied tenfold. But obviously, the condition for acceptance is iman. Iman you need to have. Without that, that deed doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any weight, and it doesn't have any effect. It becomes effective with iman. So iman comes, the iman strengthens with recognition. One is just the iman that we have inherited, and one is the strength to the iman. The strength, the power, the might to that iman. When that iman has got that strength, it's got that might, then it will drive you then. It will drive you towards righteousness. It will stop you from wrong. But that iman needs to have that type of power, that type of might. But that might in that iman comes with recognition. There's recognition now that iman has got might, it's got power. Person saw a piece of paper and he didn't think much of it, so he asked his child, go and throw it in the dirt. So for a whole bundle, a whole pile of dirt and filth, whatever, he threw it there. And just a few minutes later, they told him, you know what that was that you threw away? That was $100 bill. $100 bill it was. And you know what $100? $100 is now approximately 2,000 rands. So you know what you threw away just now? He'll go immediately with all the filth and the dirt that's around, grab it, pull it out. Clean it up, right? Clean his hand, clean the thing up. He'll kiss it, put it in his pocket, put it on his head. But the respect and the appreciation came with the recognition. Without the recognition, it was a piece of dirt. With the recognition now, there's a value to it. There's an appreciation. There is an attachment, there is a bond to it. So this iman, once we get the recognition and understanding of iman, then there is a bonding, there is a respect, there is an appreciation. But otherwise it's just something that we inherited, so we don't attach that type of importance to it. Wherever you go in this day and time, then we hear about stories, Muslims and what's going on in the world, internationally, globally. And everybody got his 2 cents. Oh, this is the problem, he is the problem, he is the problem. This group here, if they come right, then everybody comes right. So everybody gives their 2 cents to show that this is the reason, this is the catalyst, and this is the solution. But the fair thing was to see what Rasulullah Paksam had to say, that what's the catalyst, what is... Like the kuffar in that day said, that it's wealth and it is following. That's the criteria. وَلَيْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Person of wealth, what he says? That if I have to go back to Allah Ta'ala, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا, I'll find a much better repose. I'll find an ending. I'll find a place much better. Because I was favored here, then I'll be favored there as well. That's the line of reasoning that he's using. Like my Rabb had favored me here, then he will favor me there as well. So his favoring me is an indication that he likes me. Because he likes me, therefore he's favored me. And he's favored me here, so he'll favor me there. That's the reasoning that the normal person uses. So that's not the reasoning. So everybody's trying to fish out or trying to work out speculation that he is the cause, he is the person, he's the problem. But are we fair to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when we are giving our own two cents to the whole problem? Or is it the right thing to refer the whole thing to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, put it onto his desk and inquire, all right, we have got a problem, are being torn, we are broken down, we are downtrodden. Wherever we go, we don't receive that level of respect and recognition. Islam is the solution. Islam is definitely true. Then, but why are we treated like this? Do we refer this to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So the Quran Sharif and the Hadith is replete with solutions and with answers. But the gist of the whole problem is this, that we learn to imitate others. All right, now he has done so-and-so business, so therefore he's prosperous. He is doing this, so therefore he's prosperous. So we will compare ourselves against any person and every person, that he's doing this, and this brought him the prosperity. He's doing this, and that brought him the prosperity. Whereas, by Allah Ta'ala, everybody is not seen in the same way. Like you also will not see everybody alike. You will see and treat people differently. If it was your own child, right, and he was hanging around with a bunch of druggers, right, your own blood, your own child, and he's hanging around with druggers, right. So if initially you warn him, I don't want to see you here. And if he responds and says to you, Abba, you know, you mustn't be judgmental. I'm only sitting there for the company. Maybe one day they'll come to the masjid. So I got good niyat. So don't be judgmental. So are you going to listen to the child? You say, you listen to me if you want to stay in this house. You're big enough now, you're 17. You want to stay in this house here, you're big enough. You just listen to what I have to say. Then the long hand of the law will come out, right? When it come out, it come out. You say, my roof, my rules. My roof, my rules. That's what you'll say. Then you're going to entertain his discussion, his arguments, etc. But then, if the child has to ask you, all right, Abba, you know what? But there's a man that's drugging there, out there, you can see, and you know the person quite well. Then why don't you speak to him and why aren't you so hard towards him? So will the father be so hard to that person that's on the street? Will he be so hard? You may tell him mildly, but that's the end of the story. He will cut it off there. But he will treat his own differently. He will treat the stranger differently. So a Muslim is Allah Pak's own. A believer is the property. He belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So he's treated differently. Your small musti is not tolerated. That little bit wrong that you're doing is not tolerated. And that person, it doesn't belong to Allah Ta'ala. He is a write-off. When he's a write-off, then he's viewed and he's seen differently. Umli lahum, Allah Pak says, we just give him some respite. For a short while, give him. That he's sinning, he's transgressing, and we give him the road. We carry him, let him carry on. Inna kaydi mati. But the day we catch him, apprehend him, then he will regret the day he was born. See, he's treated differently. He's treated differently. When you have pledged your allegiance to me through La ilaha illallah, then I will see you differently. You are my own now. You belong to me. مَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. The one that rejects all this evil, shaitan, and all the wrong cults, all the wrong beliefs, wrong behavior, whether it is intermingling, whether it is photography, whether it's interest, whether it's imitating kuffar in the West, whatever it is. So you reject all that. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. And you hold on, يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. And you hold very firmly with Allah Ta'ala, with firm trust and firm faith. Then, فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. Then you have held on to a handhold that is very strong. لَنْ فِي سَامَ لَا. It can't break. That handhold that you have held on to, it can't break. You may leave, you may let go, but that handhold that you have held on to, that never breaks. You may weaken yourself, you may let go and hold of Allah Ta'ala, lan fi samara, it can't break. But what is the firmness of your grip? Are you holding on firm to that? Do you have the faith? Do you have the belief? Do you have the allegiance? Do you have the confidence? Do you have the trust? If you have that, then you'll never break. But you can only break if you are weak yourself. Your grip is weak. In some things you are holding firm, some things you are weak, some things you are strong, some things you are weak. And you see the kuffar now, their girls are going to school, high school and university, and they're prosperous. So why my daughter must get left out? Why must my daughter get left out? You know, just 2 days ago, there's an old man coming to the masjid, so I was supporting him, bring him to the masjid. So he says, you know, I want to tell you one saying. This old man is about 85 or something. So I asked him, Uncle, yeah, I would really appreciate, because this old man saw life. He says, they should say in the old days, you know. So what they used to say? He says, you're sending your daughter out. Dikri, you'll send your dikri out, and she'll come back with a dikra. You'll send your darling, and she'll find her own darling, and she'll bring that darling into the house. Whether he's a Muslim, non-Muslim, Christian, whatever. But you saw, you began to compare yourself with that kafir. That this is how he found his prosperity, so I will do the same thing and I'll find prosperity in the same way. Whereas Allah treats you differently and treats him differently. So we're not asking, we don't have the heart to ask Rasul Paksam, to place this question on the desk of Rasul Paksam, inquire from him, Ya Rasulullah, we are in this state today, so what's the solution? There's not much time, just 1 minute to round it up. So the solution Rasul is giving is that is not your numbers, is not your equipment, ma amwalukum wala auladukum, it's not your power and your might. We all run after power and might. Who's got the might? Then he is right, that's how we feel. Why is right? Because he's got the might. Why is wrong? Because he doesn't have the might. Not because he's got reasoning behind him, but he doesn't have the might, so therefore he's not right. So this is all scrapped, outdated reasoning. So what's the right reasoning? Go back to Rasul Paksam and see what was his reasoning. So he says, you're going to be downtrodden, you'll be eaten up, you'll be hurt from pillar to post, you'll be thrown apart. But what will be the reason for your being treated like that? Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. An over-attachment to the world. Right? I will just see the money, I must see that money coming in. And the money will manipulate me. The money will rule my life. Money will say, go into the bank and you'll get money. Send your daughters out, you'll get money. So who's ruling your life? It's the money that is running your life, not Rasul Paksam. Money will say, go and do this. And you'll be prepared to do it. Make all the sacrifices just for that money. You saw the might in the money, you recognize that. But did you recognize Rasul Paksam? Did you recognize your Allah Ta'ala? Did you recognize? You saw the might in the money, but you recognize the might of Allah Ta'ala. The words, the beautiful Mubarak words of Rasul Paksam, unfailing, can never break, can never fail. But did you recognize that? So it's an over-attachment to world, and makarahiyatul maut, and an aversion towards death, towards your ending. See, you want everything to come in perspective, then think of the end. Imagine a child that is in matric, right? Writing his final exams. And he hasn't yet come to the exams. 1 week or 3 days left. And people are rejoicing, they're dancing and clubbing and celebrating. I ask you, if they give you an invite, hey, we, you know, it's a matric ball, and before you can write the exam, you know, it's 2-3 days, I have to work very hard. Are you going to be rejoicing at that time? Are you going to be clubbing at that time? Are you going to be dancing at that time? Because you're concerned about the end. What's going to be my end? That end means so much to you. Because, you know, if I fail here, I will be an embarrassment, I will be a failure, I'll betray my parents. You know about that. So you recognize the end. Exactly the same, if you recognize your end, where you're going to, then you're not going to be doing all these things here. We do all these things here because we don't recognize the end. And that end is such a serious thing, we see it before our eyes. You know, I have to explain this to youngsters. You know? Yeah, some of these elderly people, but youngsters now, they understand the concept very well. He said, if your friend is going for Umrah, you know, and he says, you know, I'll be back in about 1 week. I just want to park my hearse at your place only for this week. Only 1 week. You can drive around if you want to. It's all right. I will accept it. That hearse doesn't mean death. But why don't you accept it? You're so averse. But if the second friend comes to you and says, I want to park my Lamborghini, my Ferrari in your yard only for the 1 week, you can drive around if you want. Hey, open hands. So what's the reason for the discrepancy? Why? What's the reason? So the same, Rasulullah is showing this, but we don't appreciate. You know that like child, he saw that $100 note, right? He didn't know what it is until he began to give recognition. So we don't realize the shortness of this life, the uncertainty of this life, the certainty of the hereafter, what it's got, its glory, its beauty, its greatness, we don't understand. And because we don't understand, we don't attach that type of importance. So again, we have to come back to basics, understand that this life is temporary, it's just a deceit. And the life that is real and permanent and lasting is the hereafter. That's our grandest topic.